Welcome to the Coworkers Podcast with Jesse and Shaney,
where every believer is a coworker in God's mission.
Welcome, friends. I'm so excited to have two dear friends to me with us today, Zach and Amy. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We're excited.
Zach and Amy have been serving in South Asia for 9 years. And we share the same wonderful home state of Missouri. Yes. And Zach and Amy are serving, just leading a team, serving faithfully, have come on the field without kids, right? Yeah, you didn't have
pregnant.
Any kids.
Came pregnant. Yeah.
Came pregnant. Okay. And you've added babies along the way. And so I know you'll have a unique perspective on this as a mom and a dad. But our topic today is very focused on language learning. And our purpose for this episode is to encourage language learners to normalize the fact that it's inherently hard and to give some tips. I served as a language coach for a while. I would say 9, if not 10 out of 10 language learners wish they were learning faster and struggle with discouragement along the way. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So we want to encourage language learners. It's inherently hard. It takes thousands of hours to learn a new language. You got to do it hour by hour. But we hope that in this episode, we will give you some tips that will make it a tiny bit easier. Zach, Amy, jump in. Feel free to just expand on my intro of you for a bit, tell a little bit about your experience on the field and in language learning, and then jump into some of those best practices.
Sure. Well, thanks for having us, Shaney. We are consumers of this content. We listen to your podcast. You guys have been companions of us on trains, planes, and automobiles. So just really grateful for your podcast, for the hard work you guys are doing with this, and just blessing so many people. You guys like helped recruit us in 2009. You were the first people from the company that we met. And then you were our language coach. So we are just really humbled to be here sharing about language learning. It's a blessing. I think just a little more intro. You know, as you said, we came here in 2014. We were pregnant when we came. The Lord has given us 3 kids since then. And now, you know, we complete our language learning. We're leading some regional work and have the privilege of walking alongside many units that are learning language as well. So just excited to get to share a little bit about our experiences and how the Lord has helped us along the journey learning a language.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention is we've lived in 2 cities over our 9 years, and both have been like language immersive contexts. So they are smaller sized cities. So just know that like our best practices and learning experiences have come in cities where we are surrounded by the language and it's really necessary. And I know that not all people listening are going to have that same context. So I just wanted to say that up front.
That's a great clarification, and that helps people kind of picture you. You have been in some of the best places to learn the local language, right? You're forced to it. It adds stress to your life, but it's helpful for language learning. So we'll talk a bit about some tips for those who are not in that type of a context. Okay, well, tell us your secrets. How do you learn the local language?
Well, I don't know if you call them secrets. Many listeners are probably like, well, duh. I would say that one of the first ones we tell people, we felt this ourselves and we tell others, is that right away you should fuse your language learning and your ministry, because we're all excited about, we came to the field to do the work. And then you're like, oh, I got to learn language. And so many people view it as a dichotomy of first I have to learn language so that I can get out and share or do things. And so we just encourage people right away, view them as one and the same. Just last week, actually, we were talking with a new unit and we were discussing their language learning. And the husband said, well, you know, I'm really struggling. They've been here a few months. He said, I feel this tension. Like, I know I need to get my language time in, but I really want to get out there and do ministry. And we were like, it's really easy. You just do them at the same time and view them as one and the same. Early on, in your first month even, just memorize. Even if you don't know all the grammar in it or whatever, just memorize the Romans Road, or memorize a short testimony of yourself, or you know, I love Jesus. He died on the cross. He loves you. You know, there's little snippets you can memorize early on, so you can just feel like you are doing the work right away. And another thing that we encourage people is, even when you don't have language, a lot of it, you can be the carrot that draws language speaking people that you want to share with to you. So if you can find one believing national to go out with who does have the language, you just be the carrot. People will approach you to meet you, to talk to you, to take your selfie or whatever. And then if you just have one or two lines and you can really quickly pass it on to your national partner, they can share the whole gospel in perfect Hindi. And it's just such an encouraging thing because it's all language time. You're getting to use the little bit you have. You're getting to model and equip and encourage a national brother or sister. And it's all listening as you're standing there listening to the gospel be shared. So, and I was going to share too, like during my first year in the language, I really wanted to share with my maid, and I shared with her in my home, but then a door opened for me to go to her slum every week. And I did not have enough Hindi to go talk for an hour. I mean, I was still in early language learning, but I just, that became why I was learning language that week. So my hours, like the grammar I studied was so that I could teach that lesson that week. The new vocab I worked on with my language helper was so that I could tell the ladies that story that week. And so it kind of gave a purpose to my language learning. And it was also just really fulfilling that I was like studying all these hours, but then I was going out to use it and share with people. So we encourage people early on, don't view it as language learning as a stepping stone so that I can get out and share with people or be involved in things. View them as one and the same from the beginning, and it'll just be encouraging and helpful in your learning.
I agree with that. And I think it does help people's motivation to stay higher when they're able to experience ministry along the way. When you are feeling separated from ministry, it's easy to get discouraged because you're not actively feeling like a part of God's calling. It's a gift, I think, that team leaders can give to their language learners when we help provide those opportunities, when we say, come with me to do this. You're going to understand like a fourth of it, but that's fine. That's part of it. Yeah. And like you said, Amy, you're going into situations knowing you're going to be way over your head language-wise. Like you're not going to be able to answer all the questions. You are so limited. So you have to embrace that, like out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to look stupid and I'm going to feel awkward. Yeah. That's part of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. That's actually the next thing we want to talk about. We're calling it laugh and learn. That is just really important to have a good sense of humor when you're learning language and being able to laugh at yourself as you're learning the language. I think that may be like maybe the most important skill and something that's really hard for us, especially those of us who come from the States. And probably there was something that you excelled at before you got here. You know, maybe they were gifted in sports or business or academics. So there's this tendency to want to be competent and excel at what we're doing, which is really important, and we should strive for that. But the truth of the matter is you just cannot excel in the language right away. You know, you just sound stupid. You sound foolish. And it's okay. Just laugh and learn. I'm going to tell a story here. So this is actually not an us story. This is a good friend of ours, their story. If it was me, I would totally fess up to it. He's sharing he's at a training, and it's like many trainings, it's for believers, but a lot of non-believers are there too, which is great and exciting, you know. And he's sharing the gospel in this mixed crowd, and he says Jesus died on the cross and 3 days later he was set on fire. And just, I mean, for the whole group. And for those of us who speak the same language, it's like a half a vowel difference. It's so close.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And what was even worse is like the believers who are in the train, their eyes just like popped out of their heads. You know, they're horrified. And all the non-believers are like nodding their heads in agreement. Like, yeah, that's what you do when someone dies. This makes sense. You know? And eventually, I mean, like half an hour later that they explain what had happened. He was freaked out too, mortified. He had to correct it, but you just laugh and learn, you know. That could have been an opportunity to get down on yourself or think, oh, I'm never going to get this. This language is so hard. There's these little vowel differences. No one, you know, went to hell because of that. You know, if anything, believers are like, hey, we need to get out there and share the gospel because these foreigners are doing it and they're messing it up. You know,
we can't like, trust them.
Yeah, that's right. You just laugh and learn. And he now is leading a mega segment. He's like an incredible M, and he told us that story. You know, he was laughing about it. And I think that's just a really important skill to be able to laugh at yourself. You know, you think of David, who was so excited in front of the ark when the ark was coming back that he was dancing half naked. And then his wife scolds him about it, right? And he said, I'll become even more undignified than this. Like he was just so in love with God, so excited about what God was doing that he wasn't afraid to look like a fool. And I think in a way we need to do that too. You know, if you're serving in the 1040 window, probably shouldn't literally dance half naked in the street, but you can, like, don't be afraid to be a fool for Jesus. You know, it's for God. We're here for him. We're serving him. It's for his glory. And if we look a little silly along the way, just laugh and learn.
I think that's good. Being able to laugh at yourself. And for us achiever types, which a lot of people who come on the field, I mean, we want to learn language fast. We want to be awesome at it. There's an expectation from many organizations, I mean, ours, that you will learn, you'll reach an advanced level by the end of your first term. So there's a lot of pressure, and there's a natural tendency to compare to those around you. How am I doing compared to them? We came on the field the same time. And I just think, you know, God is always working all that for our sanctification. And it's like this sandpaper rubbing against that achiever. I'm going to be the best. It's part of it. And it's God's goodness to us that he's humbling us and making us dependent upon him. And do you guys know how long it took me and Jesse to reach advanced level in the language?
No, I don't think
you don't know. Exactly. No one cares. No one cares.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
In the moment you think it's so important, like, oh, I want to reach it faster than everybody. And it's like, some people do it in a year, some in 2 years, some in 3 years, but Lord willing, you're going to have lots of years of fruitful labor. And it's kind of like, what grade did you get in math your senior year of high school? Nobody cares. You got to do it. You know?
Yeah.
So, that's right.
So persevere, language learners, and don't like overly stress yourself out.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Another thing we wrote down is the importance of community without comparison and without competition. You know, you do need to have people around you. I think particularly nationals who are spurring you on and kind of encouraging you. And even you can just see, like, this is why we want to do it. Both believers and non-believers who are part of your community. Like, I want to get my language to where it should be so I can really share deep heart level stuff with this non-believer. Or I want to get there so I can really disciple this believer who doesn't have any English. But you also want to have expats that are around you that maybe they have already learned the language and they're encouraging you. Maybe you're coming out to the field at a similar time and you can kind of bounce ideas off each other, commiserate sometimes at a healthy level, but you want to have that community without comparison or competition. And it's really easy. Even I think between husbands and wives, it can be easy to compare, like,
oh yeah,
you know, her language is better than mine. He's getting more time for language practice than I am. You know, that's just not healthy. It doesn't help. And to your point, if we're hoping to be here 20 or 30 years, it doesn't really matter if it took us 2 or 3 years to get the language down when we're doing ministry in the midst of that 2 to 3 years anyway.
We came on the field newly married. Language learning adds significant stress on your marriage because it's also in the midst of cultural stress and you're going to learn differently. And you may have people in your life, I mean, depending on the culture that you're in, people can be blunt and say things like, your husband's Hindi is so much better than yours. And you have to like endure that. You got to have some thick skin and keep encouraging one another and be okay with learning at different paces.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Another best practice we had is just, it sounds simple, but just open your mouth. I feel like one pitfall we see is a lot of people feel like I'm not going to start speaking the language until I have it to this, whatever level they have in their mind, until they have it right enough, and they wait to use it. And those people almost always learn slower and are less confident than their counterparts who are like, hey, I got a little, let's go out and use it. And they're just like in totally messy, not grammatical, like terrible language, but they're using it. And those people almost always progress faster in the language because they're just not embarrassed to use it. And again, I've seen this so often. I language coach also, just people who feel the need to perfect something before they use it. And it almost always hurts them and does not help them.
Which is a challenge for introverts. And so they're going to be stretched. And and I think that's something that we have to continually encourage in. And, you know, Zach, you just talked about how you're bringing people along with you. They're seeing you teach in the language that can be an inspiration to them. I think we also have to go out of our way to say, listen, you jump in and get involved. Don't let me do all the talking. What can you do today to participate? You can do a 3-sentence prayer today. That's what you're going to do. And some some people will really need a push out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Some people will go out of their way, Amy, like you said, and just talk nonstop. And you're like, okay, come on, we got to do a lesson here. Stop chatting. So we, you know, but many will wait for you to tell them what to do. And so it's a gift, I think, sometimes pushing people out of their comfort zone, saying you're going to do a personal testimony next week. You come prepared, and it might be five sentences, but that's okay. And then by the end of it, they're like, oh my goodness, I did that. And people understood me.
Yeah, I think those things become milestones along the way. You know, you give your personal, your testimony the first time, and hopefully your team leader is there to encourage you, you know, even if it's not perfect. But then a month later, you give it again, and it's twice as long and twice as good, you know? And then six months later, you're sharing the gospel. And I mean, I don't want to put timelines on it for prospective units, but just over time, you're getting better. And you can kind of look at those milestones along the way of like, wow, look at how far the Lord has carried me over this amount of time and learn the language.
Yeah. Another best practice we had was just keeping tabs on your learning. I know in our company, we have some accountability in place. You might have a language coach or have to log your hours or submit recordings, and those can feel kind of superfluous and just like homework, but actually they're really good things to be doing. I think sometimes if we don't step back and objectively look at how am I learning, we may be getting way under or over the amount of time we think we're having in the target language. We also may, it's really important to have diversified language learning. And so people, if you actually write down, I did this much time in the community and this much time in my alone with my books, they see that they may be imbalanced. And so that balance is really important as we're learning language. So it's not a super fun point, but it is an important one to just kind of objectively look at your language and make sure that you are doing it in a balanced and diversified way. And also just, you can kind of see, am I working hard? Am I getting the hours I need?
I think that's absolutely a best practice. We all can benefit from accountability. Amy, you mentioned like having diversified language learning. We talk about having formal language teaching, right? Mm-hmm. When possible, having a teacher, various levels of their expertise, but someone that you're paying to help you. Right. And then we talk about having community time where you're out talking to normal people, trying it out. Like this grammar I learned in this safe little classroom, is it going to work out on the street? And then you have that personal study time. That's become kind of normal vocabulary, I think, for a lot of our people, is we expect all three of those, right? And every week, you want all three of those. And the community time, I think, can be the one that some people struggle to get because it's a little less controllable, right? And it's a little more out of your comfort zone. So I feel like we're often helping people. Okay. You have your teacher time. Good job on that. You have your personal study time. It's nice and cozy in your flat. You're feeling great. But how can we get more hours? You know, how can we get more hours talking to normal people? Man, using your house helper like you did, Amy, she's already in your house every day. Here's a huge best practice. Get a house helper who speaks the language and talk to her.
Yeah. That's great.
Man, you got to find the easy, fast ways to get community time, right? How do we get that good community time?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I love the approach you're talking about, having those three things and then working in concert with one another. I think if you just study a lesson in the morning, I feel like this is maybe something you guys told us like 3 weeks on the field, you know, study your lesson in the morning, get it down, and then go out and use it. And if you have like a language route, you know, people that you regularly go to, like in our previous city, I went to the same place for lunch every day, 75 cents, all you can eat, you know, and it was great. And I talked to mostly the same guys, like the same waiters every day. Often there'd be guys, you had shared tables at this restaurant, you know, awesome language opportunity. You know, then I would go maybe like there was a hardware store nearby where I was friends with the owner. There was a pharmacist and a grocery store nearby that I was friends with the owner. And so I would just talk to these guys, and it might be literally like a 5-minute conversation, but I would try to just implement whatever structure, whatever syntax, whatever grammar, whatever new vocab I had learned that day. And I think just that spaced repetition is really important.
I think that best practices for moms and women is different, at least in our culture, than men, as you're saying. I think that, like you said, as much as possible, bringing your language to you, especially as a mom of little kids, like that was my bread and butter of language learning because I came pregnant and then I had my daughter and I was like this wide-eyed new mom with a little baby who cried a ton. And I was like stressed out. And until I found a good rhythm of bringing my language to me, I really struggled. Basically two ladies, my maid and my friend who I paid to be my friend to come talk to me in my house 2 hours every day. They were how I learned language, you know, and I did other things, of course, but those two were like it for me. So like you're saying, I think that bringing language to you is really big. And another point I had about just best practice, we had one that just said view life as learning. And I think a lot of those community opportunities come like that. Attention I hear is like, I'm so busy. I have so many not language things I need to do that I can't get my hours. And so we just tell people overlap them. Like, okay, yes, you have to cook dinner. You have to meal prep or whatever. So do that while your maid's in your kitchen doing your dishes. So you can chat with her the whole time. Or I have laundry. Okay, listen to a podcast in your local language while you do it. Oh, it takes me forever to come and go in my city from where I am, or I have to drop my kids here and there. Then listen it on the car stereo to something, or talk to your Uber or Ola driver the whole way, or be that weird person on the metro who chats to your stranger neighbor the whole time. You know, I have to grocery shop. Okay, write out your list in Hindi or sorry, whatever language before you go. And then even if you know where it is in the store, go find a worker and say, where is this? Or, you know, just like find ways. And then, you know, as you're checking out, ask your cashier how they're doing or something about their life. Be that creepy person again, you know? Because I think there's people view it as like, I have so much to do, but I also have to get language. Like as much as you can, just overlap them. You're living in the culture where the language that you want. So just use it while you're doing that. And I think one other thing is getting sick is really a reality on the field. And so I think even as much as you can, redeeming sick days, you know, watch a movie in your target language, or you can do things that are not taxing physically while you're, you know, studying the script or having some private grammar time while you're cuddled up in our blanket with a cup of coffee. Like there's ways to not just torch every sick day, because at least where we are, there are a lot of those.
Okay. You just said so much good stuff. I just want to highlight a few. You're basically saying you're looking at your schedule all through a filter of how do I learn language all the time through everything I'm doing, right? You're kind of being ruthless. Right. You're like, I'm all in. This is my number one goal. Having that mindset everywhere I go, I'm trying to talk to people. You're not like functioning like a normal part of society. Like most people are not going to the same chemist every single day to chat with the chemist. Okay.
Yeah.
You're just embracing this. Like this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be all out on this. And I might even carry around a little dorky Hindi notebook. And I'd even just say like, here's the word I'm learning, and you're just like trying them out. So you are fully owning it. Again, it's that mindset. I have to put thousands of hours into this. How can I get them any way I can? Listening as much as you can, listening to Bible stories in the language. I mean, all that is helpful. And man, that point of like bring language to you, I think can be one of the best things for moms. Somehow we think to ourselves, well, I get more points if I'm like out walking the streets in the sun trying to learn language. But we just need hours talking and listening. And so if you can get someone to come to your house, you're going to get way more hours. It's just the reality. And your life is already so full when you're changing diapers and you're trying to cook. So no shame in bringing language to you and doing a lot in your house.
Yeah. And to that point, like if you have little kids, if you get a neighbor or two little buddy who will come play at your house and they're chattering away in the local language and you're listening, that's community time. You know, you try to talk with them. Your kids are also making friendships and learning the language, and that counts. Like, why does it not count if the people are half our size who we're listening to the Hindi of? So if you have kids, like language learn from little kids, they use much more simplified language. They're a great learning resource, actually.
For sure. And I think just to the point of like, no shame for bringing language to the home, especially for moms, that is great ministry time too. You know, our house helper was not a believer, and Amy got to share with her many times. Our house helper called Amy back into her slum and got to share Bible storying with all the, you know, many of the ladies in the slum. Our language helper was also not a believer. She came to Christ. She was baptized. She was from a UUPG, you know, like God really used that. And here, you know, same thing. We've continued, hopefully, learning language, and the people that are in Amy's life, like God has, and other ladies on the team, like God has really blessed those people just because they're getting gospel all the time, you know. And yeah, I think just viewing, again, going back to fusing ministry and language, you know, this person, view your house helper, view your language helper as your unreached people group. Or if they are believers, they're the first people you're going to train. You know, by the time we're done learning language, this gal is going to have it down packed, how to share my testimony, how to share the gospel, how to do an inductive Bible study.
And praise the Lord for the people he puts in our life, right? And so for people who are preparing to come on the field, you all can be praying for that right now, that God provide for you. He is going to put you in a neighborhood, and your neighbors may become some of your new friends that help you learn language, that you also are put there so you can share the love of Christ with them. People who don't live in a context like ours might be like, what in the world? These people have maids, but it's normal here. It's fine. If you feel judgmental, we really don't care. But man, you're praying for the right person that's going to be in your home every day with you and your kids. And man, for me, that's been one of the biggest gifts God has given me, is that loving relationship with those sisters that we get to share with. So, Amy, do you have any other word of encouragement, or Zach, you too, for fathers? This is not just for moms at all. Mm. Let's just talk another minute about, because it's different when you have kids. Language learning is an experience. And I don't want people to like, some people, it's almost like we punish ourselves for being parents. We're trying to do the exact same as the people without kids in language learning. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we have a different dynamic. And we 100% can learn language with a house full of kids. Like, it's still possible. Don't think you're going to not be able to do it. But what encouragement or tips would you give to parents?
Yeah, I got really excited about this one when you told me this was one of the questions, because it's so true and it's such a struggle on the field. We just had a new unit join this year, and we sat down to talk with them about language. And the first thing we said was, this is going to be messier because you have kids. Just embrace it and expect it. And your language learning is going to look different than the people who do not have children. We said that it's so important as parents to communicate about language learning. Building a schedule together, like, so that you can both have time in the language, and then also expecting that it's going to change over and over again. And you're going to have to rehab that conversation about how do we make hours fair? Who's going to be with the kids then? Who's, you know, if you go into it expecting a need to communicate and also expecting that it's going to change, you know, your kid's going to drop a nap and then, oh, I had those 2 hours and now I don't. And, you know, so just if a husband and wife are on the same page of this is something we're communicating about and we're going to keep recircling back when we need to, I think that is super important. Also, our company, and I hope most people view it as like both the man and woman need to learn language, and it's important for both of them, viewing it as equal. I mean, you're living in the country, so you both need it and you both want to be doing the work. So I feel like honoring that and looking to each other's needs is really important. Just like using your resources of money, like you could hire a cook. Like, that's something I haven't done yet, but I've thought about it before. If you hire a cook, one, she's taking something off your list of to-dos, and two, you can talk to her the whole time she's in your kitchen cooking. So it's great for language. Hiring a nanny, again, that seems super weird, but where we are, it's super affordable. And we did that. We basically changed our maid into a capacity of nanny. We added hours for her after our daughter was born. That was huge. She was in my home all day and I was just talking with her, and she was talking to Annabelle, and I was hearing that. And so just that is huge. And then also, like, if you have kids, watch, if you needed some downtime and they want to have a little screen time, watch something in the language with them. Kids shows are a great resource. If it's affordable where you are, sending your kids to a preschool can give you some kid-free hours to do language. And it's also great for your kids to just make friends and be out and learn some language themselves. So those are some practical tips that we always give moms. But overall, my feeling about language learning as parents is that kids make it messier and it might take longer, but they are also a huge blessing, a huge gift. They're going to throw open doors for language learning and ministry that would have been closed if you didn't have them. People love kids, and they make you more approachable. There may be neighbors who come up and start a conversation with you because they see you with children, or because they want a selfie with your little cute baby. it's easy to feel like our kids make our language learning hard or challenging, or we compare with those who don't have them. But I think we need to also view our children as like one of our most important jobs that God has given us on the field, and also an amazing opportunity to just have relationships, to have people in our home, to be approachable. I mean, they are an amazing gift. And so I think we don't talk enough about the gift that kids are to language learning.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think this is kind of a theme of y'all's podcast, that just the importance of parenting on the field and investing in our kids and putting our family first. I feel like we didn't really fit into our community until we had a kid. We were like 15 to 20 years younger than the next youngest family. We had no kids. Everyone else had, you know, one or two kids, joint families. And then we had this baby who cried all the time. And the only way you could calm her down was by walking her outside. And so they saw these like foreigners who don't speak very well, you know, don't have any kids. And what's the story with them? Are they even married? You know, and they saw a dad walking the baby around the block. And like, oh, these are normal people. You know, these are people like us. And I feel like that really kind of establishes in the community. Another practice is from Genesis, you know, Jacob meets Esau. They have this big reunion and Esau's like, hey, come with me, bro. He's like, no, I can't. I got to slow down for my flocks and for my kids. We need to go a little bit slower, you know, and that's just like, it's a biblical principle. It's okay to go a little bit slower. You're still going to get where you need to go. You just have to go a little bit slower. And I think also as a dad, it's just really important to give your wife or to give mom some space to do ministry in the language. And it's not something that like we think of right away or that we default to, but just she's got time in the home where she's learning, but just like an hour a week or a couple times a month where she gets to go out and just really hit it hard in ministry. Maybe it's a 3/3 meeting with new believers, or maybe it's a training that the team is doing. Yeah, just really giving your wife space to get out and do ministry in the language, I think is so helpful for her, both for her language development, and also just for that sort of the why aspect, like really growing in motivation for why we're learning language.
That's awesome. I'd like to talk about those language learners who are not in an immersive context. That's actually the life that we live right now in this huge urban center is less immersive than the life that you all are living. And we used to live more similarly to how your context is. So I can easily compare that in my head. And people who are not surrounded by local language speakers, specifically people who only speak the local language, where English is not an easy option, they do have to work harder to get all these hours, especially the community time. When you walk out your door to people who speak English, that's an extra challenge. So I do want to acknowledge that, but also say it is still 100% doable. You just have to be more intentional and proactive. Sometimes that means just some of these same practices. You just find those speakers and you get them in your home a lot. Really, two or three good conversation partners can go a long way. You don't have to complicate it, right? Yeah. So I think working really hard to get some of those rhythms where every day you have 5 or 6 consistent hours in language, and just being careful to not spend too much time with those English speakers, because full-time language learning is a unique time where we are being very protective, right, of our schedules. And so it does mean sometimes we're saying no to some friendships in English, because this is it's our full-time job, really, right? It's a stewardship and it's a gift that you never really fully get back. I basically am just really more aware of that because of where we live. And we have even been sending our language learners to contexts like yours for a week or two or three at a time. So they get that big boost of immersion. And it's kind of like a language multivitamin like shot, you know, it just like really gives them a step forward of growth. But I wanted to see if you guys had any other encouragement for people like that.
I would say also one just real practical tip is look at your credit card statement. If you see Starbucks or McDonald's or just fill in the blank, we have lots of food delivery apps here. If you have a credit card statement, then if it's not just blank and everything's in cash, that might be a slight indication that you're kind of fishing in the wrong ponds, you know? But yeah, I would say there are places that you can probably find and probably not too far from your home. You know, one of the things that I just love about y'all city is there are these huge skyscraper, high-rise apartment buildings, you know, very wealthy type areas. And then just across the street, and there might be a slum, you know? And so just finding a place that you can go where you're interacting with people who don't speak English. And a lot of the kind of the places, kind of our haunts, you know, the places that we might tend to find ourselves are going to be like a mall or a Starbucks. Yeah, of course, people are only going to speak English there, but there are places you can go that people wouldn't. That's really the only thing I can think of. I feel like you guys who have done that would know much more. But just trying to create an immersive context as much as you can, I think would be really helpful.
And I was just going to add, you said this, but not thinking you need a ton of people for it to be community time.
Right.
Having one, two, or three people who will consistently come to you, who you could even pay a little bit to just come talk to you. If you can have those people who will come for an hour or two a day, that consistency is really what you need. So if you just find a few people, you know, pray for that, work to that end, put that in your prayer newsletter. Like, I need a language speaking friend who can come consistently. You know, don't search for a ton of people or even like a huge environment. If you can't find it, try to find that person. You know, you only need one or two who will consistently come and talk only in the language with you.
I think that paying for friends, if you can afford it, if you have the budget, like our company provides the budget, I think it's a best practice, you know, like, and that might sound shallow and maybe it is, but at first, like even if it's someone who's not really great in the language, but they're a language helper, they're a conversation partner, whatever term you want to use, if you can just pay them a little bit, they will come, you know, whereas if you're just trying with 15 different people to get regular hours, it's not going to happen as frequently.
Okay, I would like to end with you guys just sharing some encouragement. What words of encouragement do you have, maybe from the Word, maybe just your own experience, to close out for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first one is just an encouragement really to work hard. You know, there are so many scriptures about this. Colossians 3, work heartily as unto the Lord. Paul, over and over and over again, we were just before bed doing devotion with our kids last night from Acts 20. You know, the first thing he brings up to the Ephesian elders is, you know how hard I worked, right? With tears. So it's okay, you know, if you cry sometimes or if it's really hard, just really work hard. That is just a biblical imperative. And I feel like another great theme of this podcast, I would say go back and listen to y'all's Am I Working Hard Enough? Part 1 about 1 Corinthians 15, you know, let it be a little bit of attention. Yes, we are born again. We stand in the gospel that Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again 3 days later for our sins. Like, yes. And also Paul saying that his grace was upon me. His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than all of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Like, his just really leaning into that grace. In Colossians 1:29, he says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So we should be working hard, and we should also be praying and asking God, like, give me this energy, give me this grace to really work hard. And then another encouragement I would share is from Genesis 28. You know, maybe for someone who's struggling right now in the language learning, or maybe you've got a unit on your team that you're trying to help and they're struggling. You know, in Genesis 28, God renamed Jacob, and God named him Israel, which means struggles with God. And this became the name of God's people for generations down to this day. We are the strugglers with God. And that's okay. It's good. Like, if you're struggling in language learning right now, it's okay. It's even good. Just make sure you're struggling with God, right? Not struggling apart from God, not struggling against God. You know, you're struggling with him. He's in this with you. And the Lord is excited for you. He's cheering you on. He sent you here to learn the language so that you could share the gospel. On Tammy's point, share the gospel as you learn the language, right? Make disciples. The whole CMT is going to be enhanced by your language learning. So keep going. We're praying for you. We're with you. Keep struggling. It's good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You're ready to preach, Zach.
Yeah, seriously. Get him going.
Amy, what do you have to add?
Actually, we've talked a lot about like what best practices for learners, but I do think there's a huge conversation to be had about if you're out of language or if you are a team leader, because, you know, I feel like the hardest people to speak the local language in front of are your teammates. And it's especially hard after you've reached the language level that you're supposed to be at. It becomes this like unspoken expectation of like, I'm supposed to have arrived, or I need to have perfect, or I can't ask for clarity anymore because I'm tested out, you know? And I think that it's super important for those who have tested out, for those who are leading teams, to step out in humility. I remember I was at a team meeting just earlier this year, and we have mixed team meetings, nationals and expats, so it's all in the local language. And something was being said, and every one of the expats was nodding their heads and getting it. And I had no idea. I was like, what in the world? I don't know what's going on. And so I just swallowed a humble pill and I just raised my hand and I was like, can someone explain to me what's being said? And it was immediate. All the expats started laughing. And this one guy just said, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I was not the only one who had no idea what was going on. And it was just a reminder to me of if we don't step out in humility and understanding like we're all always learning, then those we lead and those around us feel like they have to keep up some front of I've reached language, so I can't ask for clarity anymore or learn a new word, or heaven forbid that I still have a Hindi new word book that I carry around, you know? And the truth is we're 9 years in and we're still learning new words, and we want to foster that on our teams and encourage people who are in the throes of language learning, and it's really hard and it's really discouraging. And I think there's a lot of encouragement to be had when they see their leaders asking what a new word is or struggling with something, because if we always act like we have it together, then that's actually really discouraging for those who are struggling. You know, I remember being so encouraged by sometimes when my leadership would not understand something or have a question, and I would be like, oh, they're human too. Like, it's okay that I'm in this moment where I'm like so lost. So I just want to say that I think on teams, you need to really be encouraging those around you. Don't be so prideful that you can't ask when you don't know a word. And yeah, I just feel like humility is something that's hard. We have this hashtag on our team. It's called always an apprentice. It means whether you're in your first term or your second or your third or your fourth, you're always an apprentice. You should always be looking to nationals to understand more about culture. You should always be learning new language. We never arrive. And I think the moment we stop acting like we have something to learn, then we become less effective. So
I love it. That was very convicting and challenging to me. So thank you for sharing that. Struggling with God, Zach, thank you for that. I think that is, man, just so good. We're taking all those struggles to the Lord. My last word of encouragement for listeners is when I look back at my time on the field, the highlights are relationships, right? Like that's what we're here for. And I think of my most meaningful relationships, I mean, it can like bring tears to my eyes so quickly. They would not have happened to the depth that they did without the language. Is language the silver bullet that makes you an awesome missionary? No, you can learn language and not be dependent upon the Spirit, and you're not going to see a lot of fruit, right? But the Lord uses it. And because our work is so relational, that's the prize of language learning, is we get these amazing relationships. We get to lead people to the Lord, and we get to benefit from all that they teach us, right? When we can go deeper and we can have heart level conversations, always limited. When I say heart level, it's not the same as me talking in English. I'm embracing that humility as well. I'm always limited in the local language. You can live on the field and you can do ministry with that language. We have plenty of people who are limited in language. So again, it's not the silver bullet, but it will bring you more joy, and it will put you in a position, I think, to go deeper in relationships for discipleship and to see more fruit. So thank you very much, Zach and Amy. Thank you for all these amazing tips, practices, sharing from your own life. Really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Jamie. Yeah,
thanks so much, Jamie.